This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
As the debt ceiling legislation heads toward approval, what will caps on spending do to or do for the wider economy? I'm David Brancaccio in Los Angeles. A bipartisan coalition in the House of Representatives last night voted to allow the government to keep borrowing money to pay what it owes over the next 2 years. 71 Republicans and 46 Democrats were opposed. The bill puts in some spending caps and prevents funding for many so-called discretionary programs from rising. The bill's expected to now get through the Senate quickly to avert a potentially catastrophic government default that would otherwise happen within days. With the U.S. on course now to enter a period of capped budgets, there remain escalating needs. This week, our series Finding Your Place is exploring approaches to homelessness. Today, it's a connection to the strong U.S. labor market. Many government agencies and nonprofits are having a hard time recruiting staff to help people get off streets and into stable housing. Here's Marketplace's Matt Levin.
Leticia Rosales is covering the front desk at the Hope Cooperative's Outreach and Engagement Center in Sacramento. It provides 24/7 services to people experiencing homelessness. When we met, she was celebrating a permanent housing placement for someone who had been with the center for 117 days.
Yeah, it's like a graduation, you know what I mean? You see them start from their first step on to the next step.
Rosales makes about $22 an hour as an outreach worker. She was homeless as a kid and says this job makes her feel good, but it's not for everyone.
It's a high rate, a turnover, but I feel like the ones that actually get it, like get the point of working with the people, are the ones that stay.
Finding the ones that stay is as tough as it's ever been, says Hope Cooperative CEO Erin Johansson. About 10% of her positions are basically always vacant.
We have a full-time recruiter. She spends all day every day trying to find us the right people.
There's really no good national statistics on the shortage of homelessness workers, but anyone in the field will tell you it's a problem. A study focused on LA County found that workforce needs to grow by 20%. And post-pandemic, one particular type of worker has been really hard to get.
A licensed clinical social worker.
People with master's degrees in social work, or MSWs for short, are trained to work with people with mental illness or substance abuse issues. Donna Gallup teaches in the MSW program at Azusa Pacific University.
Right now, there's tremendous competition for social workers, and there are much more lucrative and much more pleasant work settings.
Like schools and hospital systems, which typically offer better hours and less stress. While Gallup says higher pay for homelessness workers would obviously help, many of her students need more exposure and support. Gallup runs a pilot program that places master students with Southern California homelessness agencies.
They're entering a sector with their eyes open. Many people who do go into the sector go in and are very surprised, you know, disenfranchised, not understanding. Those are some of the reasons that people burn out.
Gallup says the early results of the pilot program are promising. While the official data isn't out yet, anecdotally, it looks like MSWs who participated are sticking with it. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
Our series is called Finding Your Place, New Thinking for People with Nowhere to Live. All of the coverage is accumulating online at marketplace.org if you miss it on the air. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says the bill to cap federal spending in exchange for averting a government default would cut outlays by roughly $1.5 trillion over 10 years. While that plays as a big number, it's not likely to slow growth by much. Marketplace's Justin Ho has that.
Government spending certainly can influence the economy. Look at all the relief checks the government sent out early in the pandemic. Many of those went straight into the economy. So on the flip side, reduced government spending can cause the broader economy to slow down. Thing is, the debt ceiling deal in Congress right now leaves a lot of government spending untouched, like Medicare and Social Security. Instead, it focuses on capping non-military discretionary spending, which includes money the government uses to fund different agencies. So economists say the effect on the broader economy will be pretty minor. The economy is still strong, and it could absorb any small spending reductions. But let's not forget that the deal would expand work requirements for certain government benefits. One concern is that any additional hurdles could cause fewer people to receive those benefits, and that affects more vulnerable consumers. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Market stock index futures I see are up plus 0.3% for S&P futures. We'll get a private sector version of the May hiring report later today. The official reports on payrolls and unemployment come tomorrow. Amazon has agreed to pay nearly $31 million to settle charges that it improperly handled children's data, including voice recordings, from its Alexa voice assistant. Also, Amazon failed to safeguard videos of people recorded by its Ring security cameras. In one instance, regulators say an employee viewed thousands of videos of women in their homes. Marketplace's Nova Safo has that.
The Federal Trade Commission says Amazon will pay a $25 million penalty to settle the Alexa case and nearly $6 million for alleged privacy violations at Ring. Regulators say videos collected by Ring cameras were not properly safeguarded by the company, and an employee in 2017 was able to view thousands of videos of women in private spaces, such as their bathrooms and bedrooms. The FTC also said that Ring's security practices were so lax that the company was an easy target for hackers. In the Alexa case, the FTC says Amazon held on to some children's voice recordings and geolocation data, even after parents requested that the information be deleted. The company allegedly used that data to train its Alexa algorithm. In a statement, Amazon said it disagreed with the FTC's claims and denied violating the law. The company said Ring had long ago addressed its cybersecurity issues, and Amazon agreed to make what it characterized as a small modification to how it handles children's Alexa profiles. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.